plenty of ground to cover tonight, so let's go ahead and get started. What I'd like to do for this August 17th City Council work session, I want to start with our bookkeeper, Lourdes Hildebrand, let her go first. And that way she can get home to her family. But I appreciate you being here tonight to kind of shed some light on how we got to the point of actually not being able to do the public hearing for the village road. So I'm going to turn it over to you. You give your explanation, and then we'll see what kind of questions we have. Thank you, Lourdes.
Okay. Well, did you want to start with what happened last year?
You are welcome to start wherever you'd like. If you want to kind of recap what happened last year.
Jennifer went back through the emails, and she has a clearer picture.
Jennifer, yes. Would you like
so
to start?
So last year, what had happened, it initially was the advertising was not done properly because there was a tax increase. So that impacted, there was two impacts. That was the first impact to the millage rate hearings from what I've been able to see. I wasn't directly involved, but, and then before the new meetings had started that were rescheduled because of having to do proper advertising because it was considered a tax increase, there was question, I think it was from George Menden, around Cherokee numbers were not reflected in the, I don't have the sheet in front of me with the proper verbiage, but their home values were not included. So that was the second piece that caused another delay because Lourdes had to go back in and put Cherokee in. That's kind of a rundown of that.
Okay. So that was last year's
correct.
Military. Correct. And you were not, were you involved in that at all? Or?
Not direct. I mean, I was here, but I was not really right. involved in that process.
All right.
Okay, and the whole thing about adding Cherokee County when I started here, although I mean, I'm an accountant, they don't teach Fulton County government law in any accounting class I've ever seen. But I was trained by Jerry O'Neill on how to do that, and she never included the Cherokee numbers. So when he said we should, I thought, you know, it doesn't matter. It sounds like a good idea. But it really is, their numbers aren't big enough to make that big of a difference, and that's probably why they never used it. So this year we had another issue because now we have the new way of calculating the homestead exemption for Cherokee County. And this would have been my first year doing that, and I didn't do it. And so George called me up, and he was leaving for the UK. I tried to set up a time to see him. It wasn't convenient because he was leaving. I couldn't text him in UK. He said he was going to send us a Zoom link to meet with him. That never happened.
When was that supposed to be?
Thursday.
Last Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And so I was panicked about because George is a smart guy. So I thought, I must be missing something. Because even after you put in those numbers, that, you know, the exemption, it didn't make a difference. But he swore that it was 7.01, it was 7.01, and, you know, I wanted to err on the side of, you know, being safe and not having to, you know, put something out there that wasn't right. But in the end, the numbers didn't change.
All right, how did, or when did you realize that this, the number was incorrect? Who brought it, how did you figure that
well, out? Jennifer and I went back, we looked over every piece of information that we got from Cherokee County because they send the numbers several times, the digest, as they fix it or change it. And so we made sure we got the very last numbers. There were some numbers that didn't jive. They don't send the information the same way that Fulton County does. And so we drilled down into the numbers really carefully to make sure we had it right. I redid everything from square one, and it didn't make a difference. And
that was today.
Both of us today, we did it, and we're positive it's right.
What was the determining factor for you when you decided to cancel the meeting?
Monday, Lourdes had, was re-plugging in numbers, trying to make sure that it was accurate. When she did it at that time, she was coming up a penny lower, which would mean our 708 would be an increase and would create a completely different advertising.
It required three meetings instead of...
Correct. Again, as she said, she reviewed again today, but is coming up with the same number as before.
All right, anybody have any questions for Lourdes?
Yeah, I gotta clarify. So we went through all of this and your numbers were exactly the same when all was said and done.
Yes.
So you were slowed down by somebody that created all this.
No, I'll tell you what, he's very helpful.
Uh-huh.
Because when he had to calculate, because for me to have done all that, all of the legwork that he did would have cost the city thousands. And he went and it's not easy communicating with Fulton County.
Yes.
So he did all that legwork, he figured out how to do everything, all I had to do was go in and check it. Once he showed me all the documentation, that saved the city some serious money.
But and this year, your numbers were...
In this case, they changed, but not enough to change the outcome.
Okay.
But I was kind of panicked because, like I said, he's a smart guy.
I know. Thank you.
That's it.
Any other questions?
I don't have any questions, just a comment.
Okay.
This is really frustrating. And I don't think in the middle of he said she said because I wasn't privy to any of the conversations. So with that said, it just seems that we're not connecting somehow, some way with advanced notice, advanced timing, advanced something. It just doesn't make us look real good. We're a team here. So I'm just trying to figure out, and I understand that George has a great mind for numbers. I understand you've got a wonderful mind for numbers. And it's tough. It's not easy. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It certainly isn't that. But I'm just, like I said, just frustrated with everything just because we did the same thing last year. And the same thing, meaning the postponement of a meeting and had to do it a couple times of advertising. It just cost time, money, and effort. We're up here scrapping and trying to get every single thing we can to save dollars. And then we have things like this happen. It's just like, it's just so frustrating. So I don't know. Obviously, we've got some wonderful people that can help with the input, city hall, citizens, et cetera, et cetera. I would just encourage us, whether it's personality difference, whatever it's, ideology differences, we can just put all that stuff aside and just help benefit the city to get this done. And again, it's not a he said, she said, or a proof, yes or a proof, no, but it kind of is a, what can we all come together to get this taken care of? It's, we're a small city with limited income, and obviously the tax digest is critical to our survival, and saving every penny is critical to our survival. So I'm hoping that next year we can take what we learned from last year and from this year and get on this wagon a little sooner in case we do have problems. But everyone's efforts greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Unfortunately, this is just something that I do one time a year.
Yeah, no, it's not easy. It's not an easy formula.
Do we have not started sooner? I mean, do we have not gotten...
No, because we have to wait till we get the digest.
Okay, that's my point. I just wanted to make that point. Yeah, we have to have the tax digest before we can start the process.
Okay. And now we have to wait for both of them to come in.
Anyone else? Questions, comments? I know this was your first time doing it. I commend you for making the right decision, in my opinion, to cancel the meeting because it would have been a improper meeting under the circumstances. And we will reschedule and we'll do it first of September, I think.
Yes, September 1st. Would be the earliest.
So, and if we can get out in front of this next year a little bit quicker, because I can't tell you that there's anybody in this room who's any more frustrated than I was on Monday.
I can tell you there were two people that were more frustrated than me. Trust me on that.
Okay. All right. So, well, we appreciate your time.
All right.
And we certainly...
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for taking the time to be cautious.
Okay.
Thank you. Is this your ball?
No,
that's
right.
Yeah, I have a long drive. You guys want me to get home before I do?
Thank you.
All right, since we're already doing appearances, Mr. Close, you would like to speak? Yeah. Let's not use your silver City Hall tone.
How about just my old man tone? No, really and truly, a phenomenon occurred last month, and I can't explain it. Because Chad kind of called, well, he did call Suzanne and said, look, your meter is, you know, you just abused a tremendous amount of water. And our normal usage is somewhere in the 4,000 gallon a month range, and it was like 17,000. So we have two ways of approaching this. And that is, when you have a leak and you fix the leak, you kind of get relief from the city. I can't find a leak, couldn't find the leak, but it stopped leaking. And so I'm looking for relief from the city. I don't know how to say it any other way. It went through the meter, says it did. And so if going through the meter and then we get relief, then that's what I'm looking for. Because we would have had to have had literally 3.89 toilets running 24 hours a day, 30 days out of the month. But our usage is back on track. I took it at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and it's 3,100 and something gallons. She read it yesterday. I don't know what that reading was, but
I took a picture of it.
Okay, so we're kind of back to the same issue that I can't prove there was a leak, but I can tell you that it stopped leaking.
Well, and the meter stops spinning. So we don't know if it's a faulty meter or.
I can't imagine, I honestly cannot imagine that it's a faulty meter. It can't not work and then work and then...
Yeah, it's not a faulty meter.
Not we tested work it yesterday and then work.
We did a 10-day bucket test on it, ran it, and it clicked over to the next setting. So apparently the meter is reading.
Yeah, but when I went to City Hall and talked about this, what I was kind of basically told was that it went through the meter, but you know, that means there's a leak somewhere, but it must have corrected itself. And so, whether that means I corrected it or I paid somebody to correct it, it got corrected. And there really is no way in God's green earth we can use 17,000 gallons of water in a month. So, anyway.
And not have water somewhere.
Yeah, and not have it show up.
Okay.
Like in a bathroom or something.
All right, so council will get any information they would like to get that those of them can provide you, the meter readings and all the testing and everything, and then on Monday night.
So what is the restitution? Just billing them?
I don't know how that works.
Well, Logan, you want to explain?
Yes, so we only do leak adjustments when we can show that something was leaking and it was fixed. Or that, for example, we've had people who have left hoses, their children have left hoses on, didn't tell parents. They had an outrageous bill. They found the leak, or they found the hose that was left on after they got their bill, and they were like, holy crap, you know what's going on? They told us that they turned off the hose. Then we wait a month, 2 months to make sure, hey, the meter's, it is back to normal. It was just the hose that was the issue, or it was the toilet and the flapper that they bought, whatever it may have been. That's when we do a leak adjustment. We can't do leak adjustments for something that we don't have a reason for, because we don't know that it's not going to start back up again. And it's hard to, if the city were to forgive every really high bill that we get every month, it would happen a lot, because I can tell you, for example, Mark Murphy, yes, he didn't wiggle his toilet handle before he went out of town, and then he got his bill and Holt said, holy crap, my bill, what I normally put in there only lasted a month when it normally lasts three. I currently have somebody else who's dealing with a similar issue to where they used a lot of water, but we can't explain why. So we do what is called a 10-gallon test to make sure that the meter is reading accurately. For council members who don't know what it is, it's really not like super scientific. We take a 5-gallon bucket, fill it up twice. We read the meter first, get the reading, then we fill up the 5 gallon bucket twice, then we read the meter again, because our meters read in 10 gallon increments. So as long as it's flipped over once, then we know, great, your meter's working fine.
So to be clear though, the restitution to the homeowner should a repair have been made was they don't get the water for free, they just get it at a lower rate.
Yes.
So they are still paying for the rate.
Yes.
My understanding is the requirement for a fix or a documented fix is so it won't happen again.
Yes.
My suggestion is there's other ways we could grant these people an allowance, and if it happens again, it's on their nickel.
So in other words, are you saying wait another month or so?
I'm saying give them the lower rate because something happened, and if it happens again, they'll know that they've used their dispensation for 12
yes.
months.
Yes, okay. I think that's fair. I mean, I absolutely think that's fair. After 20 years, we use 5,000 gallons a month, and then there is a month, we use 17. Something isn't right there. But I can tell you that it is not in the house because I may not be the brightest bulb in the box, but I know that if I got three toilets running 24 hours a day for a month, I think I would have found that.
Yeah. You're on septic or sewer?
Septic.
Sewer.
Sewer. And that's the real problem is if there really was a leak, not in the yard, that is the problem because if it came through the house, that means that it went to the sewer. So that's really the kind of the rub.
Okay. All right. So
may I say something?
Sure. Raise your hand.
Long time ago, occasionally we have something like this. Somebody that was known in the community to be reasonably honest. And I would be willing to do that. I think the counter plumbing company would gladly issue a repair order if that were appropriate.
Okay. Well, I think.
And I'm not sure that the council today would accept that.
Call yourself out, but that's okay.
Thanks for sharing.
Now that you got on the subject, am I reasonably honest, Ben?
That's the only reason I use the word.
All right. So, yes.
I have just a thought. So, Chad saw the meter spinning and.
Chad didn't get out of the car. I'm the one that's reading the meters. Chad's just showing me. So, I don't want. Because there's been talk about Chad did not read it accurately. I read the meter, and then Chad called Suzanne because he has her number. But it was actively spinning extremely fast. We read it 4 times in one day, and we continued to read it every single day for the rest of that week, and it was still spinning every single time that we went in. When a meter's spinning, it's spinning for one of two reasons. You have a leak, or somebody's running water in there. But typically when we look at a meter, you can see how fast it's spinning. It's pretty easy to tell if it's, depending on how fast it's spinning, if it's spinning because somebody's in there running a washer, dishwasher, sink, toilet, etc., or if it's spinning because you know there's a leak, or if it's spinning super fast because somebody's running water and there's a leak.
Yeah.
Okay, so forgive me. You said that you checked it 3 times?
Yes.
Okay, but you didn't call me to say there was a leak.
They called me the first time.
Which was the day that Chad called, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that was the 26th of the month, because the 27th I turned the water off to in my house, and I checked the meter.
See, so every time we read it, the water was on and it was...
I got that. So I guess my point is, you waited till we used 17,000 gallons before you told me that we had an issue.
You used that, and we only check meters once a month. We don't go
around.
Well,
wait a minute. If you check meters once a month and then you checked it 3 times.
I checked it several times. When we know that somebody has a leak or has really high usage, we read meters several times that week. So, like, we can go to Lloyd and Betty's house and read their meter, and we see their previous usage, and they're in line. And so we're like, okay, their reading looks great. There's no need to go back and reread it. But then I can go to, Nancy's house, or, I can go to Linda's house, and I read it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, their reading is sky high. Something's going on. And so then we read it several more times. For example, we
had a... But the client, customer is never notified.
Not until the end. And part of that is because I'm out there doing it and looking at the numbers and having to contact people. So I'm one person having to get all these meter readings done in a week if you guys want to be billed on time. That's why.
And you know, if somebody's being really pissy about it, then they probably go to the back of the line and notification.
I'm trying to make sure I understand the process, and if it's spinning, it seems to me that that's when you call the homeowner.
I do. For example, we
didn't get called.
No,
Suzanne did get called.
I think at this point, council has enough information to make a decision on Monday night, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, Let's get back to the agenda. We'll start with the unfinished business. Item number one, discussion of the second reading of the code of ordinance for park hours, section 42-10. All right, this is the special events, being able to suspend the park closes at dark ordinance, second read. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Who would like to take this on Monday night?
I'll take it.
Thank you. Item number two, discussion of watershed management plan development. Would anyone like to discuss that? Please go ahead.
Jennifer, thank you so much for sending me this stormwater management plan. It is not a watershed management plan. There are portions in this that could be incorporated into a watershed management plan, but it doesn't have the essential nine elements required by the EPA and Georgia EPD. So, but I am gonna continue reading it, and this could, if we end up doing an RFP for a watershed management plan, they would use this. This is really a detailed study.
Is that the ISC study? Yeah.
And I wish we had been given this when we first were elected. This has excellent information in it. All I had was the little stormwater plans that had our T-SPLOS projects.
Jennifer,
this,
isn't that
this
online?
Is great.
No,
that's not on the website.
Because I've searched online for any reports I could get that would have helped me with some grants.
Okay.
This is fabulous. In 2019, it has a step-by-step plan for the things we are supposed to be doing internally to prevent issues of water going into our lakes. But watershed management plan incorporates with outside our city with other watersheds, and they tie them all
in the basin,
together.
The Rocky Creek
right.
Basin.
Yeah.
Upstream.
Yeah. So, everybody got this handout last month after the meeting where Mark Corson spoke. So I did not make copies for everybody. Again, I sent it. You know, all I know is we have so much, it's hard to print them all out. But the watershed management plan, and I can send this again, we've talked about it briefly before, but I believe it's time to make a motion to approve this. We do not know how much it's gonna cost, but I'm almost positive that it will be less than $100,000. We need a summer, we need nine minimum elements to be included in grants like the Section 319H grant that was recommended in the Cardinal Lake Study. The Cardinal, any lake studies that we've had or want to do in the future don't fix anything. You know, we can dredge the lake, we can put in a weir, we can do all kinds of things, but we're not stopping anything that's coming down from around us or from other watersheds. So what this is gonna do is give us a step-by-step plan that's all inclusive of everything that is affecting our watershed, our wetlands, everything. There will be quite a bit more research that will need to be done to even be able to write the RFP, but I just feel like it's time to start it. It will probably all said and done, I'm gonna guess it'd be over a year before we even got to the point of having people respond to an RFP, but in my opinion, this with things like this are going to give future councils a roadmap to follow. So maybe someday we can actually protect our lakes and get them clean again. Right now, we've got to stop what's happening to our lakes because our wetlands are dying, our lake is dying, everything's dying.
So, just if I may ask, you said 100,000?
Under, should most likely, almost positively be under 100,000.
Okay.
I just didn't want to do all the research and call people and find out how much it was going to cost until I knew if there was an appetite for it. We've had indications from council before that, yeah, that sounds like a good plan, but we've never had anything official. So I would like to make that motion Monday night and see where it goes.
All right, I have your name down for that motion.
I have a question.
All right, yes.
I am curious whether the cost for doing this would be covered by the Lake Restoration Fund.
Oh.
If council so desires, it can.
It is an eligible.
Yeah.
Okay. I can say that the siltation that you're talking about is real. I have photographs of it that were taken by a drone.
Yeah.
And every single time it rains, I don't know where this construction is happening above us, but Rocky Creek turns bright red. There is now siltation in front of, well, everybody's house, but it's all the way down to Julian and Dan's house.
And going into, eventually will flow over into Lake Cheerful.
Yeah.
And by the way, we did not get awarded the 319H grant, and this is one of the reasons why.
All right, Jennifer, you had a comment?
I just wanted to present to council, I mean, ISC does a lot with water management and stormwater. I have tried reaching out to them some, but I don't have finalization on specifics around a watershed plan and if they have somebody familiar with that just yet. I didn't know if we wanted to explore that or not.
For having them do it?
Correct, yeah. I mean, they're a contracted engineer that we work with.
And they are third vendors.
Well,
we have
obviously, from this study, I'd be shocked if they couldn't do the whole watershed. Would you be okay if I call them and talk to them about it?
Yeah, I mean, I can talk to my contact there, and
I just know you have a lot on your plate.
Well,
no, and there's details with the watershed management plan. I know you
are more
have research.
Right. Yeah.
So.
And they, because they were a preferred vendor, we would not have to go through the bidding process.
I would severely object to that. This is going to be north of $25,000, and I definitely would like to see a competitive bid. Maybe with them, but I just...
No, their proposal in 2012 was $36,000, thereabouts. And who knows, right now, I honestly don't think, especially if they've already done what could potentially be part of it, that could save us.
Well, that was my thinking, is that since they've already done that much of the legwork, they probably wouldn't be as much as somebody who's starting from scratch, but I respect your position if you feel like it needs
somebody
to
else might do it, if it's okay for me to call them and go through some of the particulars of the water...
Yeah.
Watershed management plan.
Get with Jennifer and she'll get you the contact.
Perfect. All right, great. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else have any comments or questions about the watershed management plan? All right. Next item on the agenda is new business. Discussion of adopting a resolution granting special counsel authority to enter into a joint defense agreement and file a... This is for the local option sales tax. It's basically adopting defense agreement that were part of the other 13 cities and Atlanta and Sandy Springs. Sandy Springs and Atlanta have separate representation. Mark, am I right on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, we just need to have this approved on Monday night so we can go proceed with the negotiations with Fulton County over loss, which hopefully will go better the next go around.
Sure didn't seem to respond very well last.
No, it did not. And this is a huge part of our tax revenue. I mean, our revenue stream, revenue, and it will certainly have a large impact on the community if we are not able to keep this sales tax.
Will this allow us to move forward with the declaratory?
Yes, I think so. I read it, but I can't remember exactly what all it covered. But I've got.
Are you guys familiar with what this is and what's going on with Ross Tax?
Do you want to kind of give them the summary? I was out of town for the last meeting, but you were welcome.
So Ross is local option sales tax.
About certain aspects.
That we share. Yeah, I'm not going to share any private stuff. But
if
you read what I put today on Next Door Neighbor and Facebook, I'm just sharing what the mayor of Alfredo shared. But local option sales tax is what gives us about $60,000 a year of revenue. It gives Atlanta about $40 million in revenue. And Roswell, I think $6 million. So it's pretty significant. What it is, it's the citizens are taxed 1%, and then it's divvied up among the towns. Part of the reason why it's done is so we can benefit from the airport or from whatever. It's a way to kind of spread some of the tax dollars around so everybody gets a little bit.
It keeps the property taxes low because some cities have 3% caps and this is what helps keep them under their 3% cap on property taxes.
10 years ago, Fulton County was agreed to get 15% of that tax and the rest was spread among the cities. Then when South Fulton was created as a city, they were cut down to 4.96%. The reason being is they only had 2 square acres of unincorporated Fulton County to say grace over.
Square miles.
Thank you.
So
that's kind of where we're at. So Fulton County has come back to us and said we want 35%, which is 600% greater than they received before. It's a huge difference. So we politely said no, and let's start working from 4.96 you have. So the challenge has been is they have said they would negotiate between the 5% and 15%, and then last week they moved the goalposts out to where their minimum take is about 25%. And they also are getting creative with how they're not only identifying the headcount and this population within the county of Fulton, essentially the double county, and saying, hey, we oversee all these millions of people, when actually I think it was 900 people that they actually had responsibility for. So they also came to us and said, here's all the things we need to spend money on, courts, jails, old folks centers, all these
libraries.
And fortunately, our lawyer was up to speed on it and said, none of that are appropriate uses of lost taxes. So lost taxes fit in these 9 categories, whatever categories, and none of the things Fulton County was talking about was in line. So it's getting unpleasant, and so what we like to do is go to a judge and have them have a declaratory statement that I've never heard of before, saying this is how you count people, and we agree with the statute that says if you collect this money, you have to use it for these reasons, which. So that's kind of what this is all about.
Here's the most difficult part of it. At 4.95%, Fulton County is looking at about $16 million. That's a rounding error. They have basically said, if we can reach an agreement that is acceptable in Fulton County, you're going to have to get used to life after loss.
Right.
And that would certainly. I think what was the revenue that we had last?
$60,000.
A month?
No, it was $60,000 total.
Total? No, because I saw 140.
It was more than that.
I'm sorry. Is that someone?
Yeah, it was like 160, I think, or 180.
And so that's almost a third of our budget. So that tells you how much money is there.
Well, it's $2.5 billion over 10 years to the cities and the county.
Yeah. So. Yes, sir.
Was this not voted on at some time? Didn't we vote to go?
Well, we voted for T-SPLOST.
We voted for T-SPLOST. There's SPLOST, which is Special Purpose Local Option Sales Tax. There's LOST, Local Option Sales Tax. There's T-SPLOST, which is Transportation Special Purpose Local Option. And these are voted on, but we have to reach the agreement for the money to be collected and for it to be distributed between the cities and the county.
And in the past, it was agreed on
And it's done every 10 years when the census, the new census comes out and the new populations, and primarily it's based on, or has been based on populations. There have been considerations for doing a point of sale, which we do not want because we don't have any commercial sales in the city of Mount Mark. All of our money's spent out there. The population has been discussed as heads and beds, nighttime population, or it's been discussed as daytime population, where if you have a lot of businesses, you have a higher concentration of people in that area. But at the end of the day, per capita or head count or a population is been the most successful way of distributing this.
So is that the standard that is our precedent that we're defending?
Yes.
Ten years ago, we the cities and Fulton County agreed to 15%.
To that.
15% for Fulton County, because they had about 15% of the population.
And then
in unincorporated.
The city of South Fulton was created, which took a huge chunk away. And I believe the assembly, not Fulton didn't say, hey, gee, here's your money back. I believe the assembly said, hey, boys, you're going down to 4.95%.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, my question, or there was an agreement about how people are counted, and now they're kind of reneging on that.
What has happened is, every time we negotiate, they always look at all the potential options. And I've been through, this is my second one in Fulton County, because that was 10 years ago that I went through the first one. Plus, we still do it for Cherokee County, so I've been through two of those, which we settled last month. But what they do is they try to look at any possible changes that might have taken place, and if there needs to be a consideration for how the population is counted, or whether it should be based upon something different like point of sale. Again, it has since the conception of this, has been population-based. This was only established in the late 1990s. First one was in 2000, and 2010, and then 2020, or thereabouts. We firmly believe that when you get right down to it, population is the best and only way to really count. And Fulton County doesn't like that now because they're down to 4.89%. You know, so that's why they're wanting to look at other considerations. Any other questions? Who wants to take this? Mark, will you take this on Monday night? Thank you. I have a meeting at 10 a.m. in the morning downtown at the Georgia Municipal Association with the attorney and all the mayors, and I always would take one other person, in case Mark Murphy and Jennifer have been the two individuals that have attended these meetings with me, because like last week I was out of town on vacation and the two of them went. So we always want to have somebody at the table so that when votes are taken or counted, then we have a vote. So you're welcome to go with us if you want to, but Jennifer and I will be going. So. I saw the thumbs up, but I saw the head shake. You know, I get it.
Sit in traffic? No, you guys go. Have fun. Yeah, you know, Jim sent me down for the 8:30 one.
He said, yeah, they did. He said, and I didn't know that. But no, it's 8:30 pre-meeting downtown. So. For that, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. All right, next item is the adopting of the resolution to adopt the 2022 Fulton County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. You want to tell them what that is?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of learning this. This happened right as I started. but it is something that is reviewed and done with all of the cities within Fulton County every 3 years. It might be 5 years, but it's done every so often. It updates various activities, things that are involved around certain aspects of hazard mitigation planning. Contacts, you know, James has been a big part in that plan, and in PBFR, because it is
Chief Maselli will also start.
Yeah, he will start.
And I need to follow up, and don't let me forget, because I don't know whether Mark did you do NIMS as Mayor Pro Tem? NIMS is the National Incident Management System, which was started after 9/11, and mayors and mayor pro tems are required to do the online course. Basically, it just spells out how things are handled on a local basis, IPASS, authority to the public safety director for them to deal with tornadoes, hurricanes, whatever the case may be. If it's a regional thing, then it establishes who's in charge at the county level, the regional level, and then of course the national level.
It's online.
It's online.
That's fine. I
need
to know about.
Yeah, I mean, and I apologize.
And I know that the Atlanta Regional Commission did look at this in their evaluation of us last year.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. So I'm going to ask you to take this on Monday night.
I've seen this before, and before Karen left, she was all excited because she said, "What lake restoration, dredging, all kinds of things are in here." So I didn't really understand why she was excited. But does this lead to grants somehow or money from somebody? And did the fire department just get some free weather radios or something because of this?
I think yes. So. I think it's all tied to that. What is directly?
Yes.
Directly.
But yeah. What do we do with it?
That I still am learning.
What she's learning.
Because yeah. I never figured that either. So
yeah, that I am still learning. I do not have an answer.
Well, let's do this.
So yes.
Let's talk about this in our meeting with the chief tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Let's ask him about
Excellent.
That because with okay. his experience. He may be familiar with how we can.
I did ask him once, and he said it has to do with so many things you won't believe it.
Yeah. Okay. Robin, I would also tell you to look over the Atlanta Regional Commission report.
Because they
have expectations, and we didn't have everything checked off.
Right.
So it'll kind of shed a little bit of light on what they're looking at.
Yeah, I've read it several times.
I know.
It's a resource
sure.
grant.
We're starting to become very familiar.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Is it safe to assume this is a non-negotiable?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a, yeah.
Okay.
It's just,
we're just going to discuss it.
Yeah, people may have questions, but
sure.
you know, it's one of those.
It is an expectation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right. Next item, number 3, discussion of upgrading the internet in the community building. I thought we had talked about this. I certainly was in support of any improvements that we can make to the ability to stream the meetings and or, whatever it is that we need to do. So, and I know that at one point you and I talked about it.
There's maybe a tiny bit of new information, maybe not, and I readily admit this is not my area. I'm not real good with these things. But, you know, we met with the Cisco vendors in
right.
Keith Ridgeway, and it's my understanding that you're going to correct me, I know you are.
Probably.
But we haven't had time to chat at all, so I haven't had time to ask. We need a new modem. Or router or something, and we can have stronger internet in this building so we don't drop our Zoom calls. And we, Grants and Research Committee, can actually work here on grants together. We come down here to work because it's quiet, and boom, we're either can't get on or we're bumped off. And we just need that. A lot of people.
I agree. I mean,
so if we wait for these recommendations to come in, and we wait for their recommendations as far as what grants might help us pay for their recommendations, mm-hmm. we're talking a year, 2 years down the road. It's going to take a long time. So my point is, if we can just get something a little stronger to tide us over while Emily's researching all of this, can we just please go ahead and do it? Yes, ma'am.
So I just have a question, because I know you guys are talking to me about it as well. So is this something that you are wanting to stay with the same internet provider and while they get the research together and just get a stronger modem?
See.
Or are you wanting...
So it's time for me to correct Rob.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
I agree completely about the need to improve the service. I mean, poor Wanda's jumping up and down trying to keep the Zoom call together.
Right.
We've been booted off twice. I'm trying to get my hotspot to connect so we can broadcast
right.
this meeting. It's just, we have to improve it. But there's some other pieces of the puzzle. There are other electronics that are interfering with the Wi-Fi or dragging on the Wi-Fi. There are security cameras up and down this building that are pulling down on the signal. So it may be that what we have is just fine, and we have to turn some of that off. There are multiple, there's Wi-Fi out of NPBFR, out of here, out of City Hall. There's a network out of the pool building that we can't seem to tap into. There's a key on the back of the modem. We try to log in, can't get in. So they're just signals conflicting with one another. There's a D-Link router, which is apparently a dirty word in IT. You don't use D-Link routers. And so it's not even putting out the signal that we have. So I think we need better internet, but we also need better equipment, and we need to get rid of the extra superfluous items that are dragging down the signal.
And security cameras, then we don't need them anymore?
Well, those are instead of using the NPBFR signal, are using the one from this room. And so monitors are in NPBFR.
Okay.
It's just like a...
You know, it's kind of like somebody described to me, if you had a bathtub of water and you were drinking through a straw, it might take you a while, but get enough people and enough straws, then it starts, that water's gone before you know it. That's what's happening. It's things are sucking a lot of the bandwidth or whatever out of this.
And it sucks.
Yeah, and it does. And we had a meeting earlier today, and we kept getting, kept freezing up.
Yeah.
And I'd like to suggest, if they can, there are modems that mount on the wall. They're just a nice round thing. We have them in our condo, and you don't believe it's not that obvious, but it works better because it's not in a closet back there with all that other electronic stuff that's back there. So
it's tucked away, locked away, and again, the signals are conflicting. It's so close to the one in NPBFR that sometimes we're picking up on that one and sometimes not.
Well, and I would be willing to ask council to maybe invest a little bit more in improving this system to start with. And we'll get to what you're talking about. It's going to be a year. I have no idea it's going to be a year and a half. But I do think that...
Well, by the time we haven't even gotten their recommendations yet.
Yeah.
And then grants, take forever. Exactly. Unless we choose, if it's affordable and we choose to fund it with ARPA, we could be much sooner. Then the RFP process takes, because it's going to be above the $10,000 mark. Yeah, the RFP process takes at least 3 months, maybe longer. So it could be a very long time.
Well, if somebody has some recommendations that might be a quick fix, short-term band-aid.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
We have a next-door neighbor who ran the IT department, a fairly good-sized company. He just retired. Would one of you council members like to go with me and talk to him about maybe, I don't know whether he can help us or not.
I'd love that.
Would he be willing to come in and take a look at what we got?
I'm sure he would. He's an honest.
Yeah, I was about to say,
he's real honest.
He's an honest.
Right? Yeah, okay.
He's an honest. All right.
I'm sure
definitely has something to do with this.
And I was going to say, that's a good point. This may be part of this.
It is.
It could be part of that because this is our EOC, Emergency Operations Center.
We've got a lot of limited and not at this time checked off in here.
Well, the new fire chief has a huge technology background, IT background, so he might be able to shed some light on it.
All right, good, good. Well, I'm excited about getting this upgraded, so we'll start making
this. So this is not a motion yet.
No.
This is okay.
No, we're going to get some information because there is definitely an appetite for this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, next item is a discussion of the dehumidifier for the firehouse.
Actually, Bill and I spoke, and it was too late to change the, didn't we talk about this? Too late to change it. You already did it?
No, I already have it.
Bill already has a dehumidifier, and we're going to put it in the...
I just pulled them off of my warehouse, and we're just going to stick it in there and see what it does.
Okay.
But what about those air filters?
Yeah,
got them donated to the fire department. They're not washable, though.
No.
What I saw was washable was actually a filter that goes in a return bin, and it just catches dust before it actually gets to the big 4-inch filter, the box filter.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, and there is a box filter in there somewhere.
Yeah, there. The 25 by 20 by 4.
By 4, yeah. Because this one's a different size one, but you have to go through this closet to get to that that number, so.
We'll have a fun afternoon.
Yeah. All right, so.
So that can be scratched.
So this can be scratched, okay. Good. Discussion of town hall dates for MPBFR topic. I will assume, or I will guess that based on some of the email conversation that was happening, we want to wait a little bit on this, because I've already spoke to GMA and we have a moderator that would be willing to do this.
We just don't have the information.
Okay.
We really right. don't. And I budget, we just got the budget. Matt has graciously volunteered to be on the working budget group.
Thank you.
Working group. Mark's volunteered to be on it.
Okay.
We just have too many loose ends to set dates right now. We have a meeting with the chief tomorrow morning to try to get him to commit to dates. That past budget is no longer accurate. There's just many things that need to be tightened up before we can schedule.
Well, I certainly am encouraged by some of the stuff that I see happening there. I do think we have a optics issue. I think it would be beneficial for the fire department to put themselves out there so that people can come down here and see them. We've got a growing roster.
Yeah.
I recommended a couple of programs to him. The Embers program is where they volunteers spend a day with small kids, young girls, and say, you can be a fireman, you can be an EMT too, and they take them through the whole thing. And it's really a community builder, because people see that they're not just somebody that's hanging out down here. They're investing in it.
They're actually doing something.
Yeah, they're doing something.
And the chief asked if he could join by Zoom tonight, but you know, how do you do that when it's
right? He may be there for all of us. We don't know. He could be there. So. All right, well, Councilman. Yes.
So just a couple things. While I'm appreciative that we don't have all the information from both sides to have an open, honest discussion,
yes.
Is there any way that we can put projected, let's say,
a time frame,
so this doesn't just, you know, we're discussing this potential town hall meeting 6 months from now. Just
I would be able to give a better time frame Monday night after we have a meeting tomorrow.
Awesome.
I think.
That would be awesome.
Can you do that during the updates? Yeah, that would be an ideal thing for the updates.
Because we're planning meet and greets, we're planning, good. Well, yeah.
I look things. Forward to hearing about it.
Yeah. And all these are wonderful things, but reaching out to the community and everything. I think at the end of the day, it boils down to the dollars and cents and what happens with Roswell.
But that's a big part of it. We don't have the accurate dollars and cents, and I know.
I'm appreciative of that. Yeah. I just want to make sure that we're, not only we have window dressing, but we've got something to step, so that's where we can back up. That
right. But we also have all kinds of fundraisers planned a lot of things are in the work.
For the record, and I just want to say this, let's not put dates or weeks. My meeting with the mayor of Roswell got punted because he had to go out of town yesterday and today, and he is booked tomorrow. We are going to try to meet after the meeting downtown. I think his city manager, Randy Knight, will be there, and if Jennifer and I are there, I don't know whether his council person is over there, their public safety, Lee Hills, will be there or not, but we're going to try to have a conversation at that time. If not, it's just going to get pushed back to the following week. So let's say this week we'll have an answer. We don't have an answer.
And that's another huge part of it too.
Yeah,
because
that's
the
big part of it.
Yeah.
We gotta have the conversation. And the first part of the conversation is going to be, can we lock this in from more than a month to month? That's the most important thing right now, because I don't think, with everything else that's going on, they're willing to talk about less money. They may be willing to talk about more, but I don't think they're ready to talk about less.
Right.
Not right now. So I'm going to try to get something that we can feel comfortable will not change on us in a 30-day time period, so that we can make better decisions about the stuff that we need to do here. So.
Right.
And I'll let you guys know Monday night if we, in fact, are ready to have that conversation. Anybody else have any more comments about the MPBFR dates or anything like that?
Robin, I just want to thank you for your due diligence on this. I know you put countless hours into this.
Thanks.
I'm very grateful to you.
Well, I think that there are definitely two schools of thought about MPBFR, but right now they still exist, and they have have all the way through the COVID period. They were still active entity. It just wasn't a very active because it wasn't very many people under the circumstances. But until this council decides that it is no longer a viable option, then I will continue to support it. So.
Thank you.
All right, moving down to the next item, number six, Elite Landscaping in the amount of $825 for lawn maintenance. I'm going to just ask the question, how did this happen? How did we, because I thought we were in the process of using the Robinson Brothers and, but I mean, I don't have a problem with Elite. I'm just saying that.
I turned it back over to you guys after I got the contracts. I don't have the authority to.
Well, we hadn't quite figured out who gave them the authority to go ahead and.
I did not. I turned them over to the city.
Mark? You were looking a little sheepish there. Just saying, hold up, be an honest guy, come on.
I sent you guys an email with the attached contracts and the Robinson Brothers contracts and said, I leave it. I told everybody it was up to you guys. I never gave them the approval. I thought you did.
Did I sign that contract not knowing what I was signing?
No, you approved the first month. And then we were supposed to vote on a contract Monday night.
Right.
But I didn't approve it. I told them we needed a new contract. We needed all right. to redo the contract. I did not know they had cut the grass until somebody called me and said they did a, their truck got stuck in the mud or something. So, and I was like, gosh, how come nobody told me?
I didn't sign anything. Okay. All right. Well,
they were impressive because they started when the coffee with your neighbors was over. They were already coming down there. I thought we had an invasion because there were so many people on lawn mowers.
They filled up the water coolers at your house.
They did what? They were done so fast and everything looked so great.
Well, and I will tell you that the difference between Elite and the Robinson Brothers were that Elite wants a annual contract, correct?
Right.
And Robinson.
But you do have a 30-day.
Oh. Okay.
You can quit with a 30-day notice, but the Robinson Brothers were less expensive.
Right.
Yeah, I was shocked when I heard that they were mowing the grass.
I can't wait to tell Campbell and Elliot that the bar just got raised according to what you're saying.
I know better than to approve anything without going through you guys.
I would like to comment, this is a source of concern to me that we have a invoice and there's no itemization on it, and these guys show up and do work and nobody knows who called them.
That's
odd.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. When I saw this, I was like,
what happened?
We got a number, but we have no information at all.
Here's what we'll do.
And then they sent me the invoice. Did you get that? I emailed you the invoice and replied to them that I was out of this loop a long time ago. I just assumed you guys went ahead and called them and hired them.
Okay, well.
Oh boy.
Okay. Logan, you were on the phone and they didn't call you.
I hired other people, but not them.
I think that they did, for all intents and purposes, they did a good job.
They didn't miss
part of City Hall, right? City Hall.
Did you see my email
and
about
you
that?
Did bring that to their attention. That's why I thought maybe you had gone ahead and green-lighted them, but.
Absolutely not. I was waiting for them to send the corrected contract with the September 1st start date.
Right. We'll look into this between now and Monday night. And I do think that if in fact it was just
one of the ladies that called me about the truck being stuck, I said, "Well, you guys are mowing," and she said, "Yeah, we've done it twice, and everybody loves it." And I said, did you get a contract? Well, yeah. I was just totally blown away. So I'm sorry, I just thought.
Well, we'll follow up tomorrow because I don't know where they got a contract, at least not one that I saw. Maybe they're confusing with somebody else. The fact is, Monday night, when we have more information, we can put it to a vote as to whether council wants to pay this bill or not. But, I mean, I do think we got the, we did get the service. But if there is, I don't know what's going on, whether this was one of those little, you know, ploys to go ahead, well, we're already here, we can just stick with it.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah,
and I'll check my emails, because I know I sent the email telling you guys I'm waiting for the corrected contract.
Who would like to address this Monday night?
I guess I will.
Yes, thank you, Robin.
So, I mean, they did it on the Saturday.
Can I make a comment?
They did it on the Saturday.
Yes. Wait, hold on, wait, we got, you got a comment?
No, I just, when they started, when I saw them.
Okay, all right.
I think we get a, whoever contacts them, I think we get a discount based on the damage they did to the, lawn next to the road.
Duly noted, that's a good point.
There is now mud out on the green where it's been scalped.
Yeah.
Which is fine, it's gonna grow back, but that's not great. That's not correct.
That's true. Yes, sir.
No, I thought it peculiar that they were cutting grass on Saturday.
Yeah.
And like, as in, we're kinda slipping this in.
Yeah, I don't, you know, like I said, I don't know whether this was like a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe it's a lot.
No, that's not the invoice.
That comes in on Sunday.
All right, well, we'll follow up between now and Monday night and between City Hall and councilperson Alvarado, maybe figure out how this came about. Anybody have any other questions or comments? Well, then at this point, thank you folks for being here. We'll see you Monday night. Have a great weekend.